my soul was lifted when they were singing it as well with my soul. Did you feel your soul lifted? Don't we appreciate the grace of God? Isn't it enriching to our inner self? Shay and I want to say thank you for the beautiful cards and notes you gave us. I feel like I should write everybody else a thank you note, but thank you so much for your very kind words. We do so appreciate it, don't we, Shay? When we built this building, we wanted to put in a prayer walk. And you know how you have projects and you get busy and you don't do them, and then it gets pushed off and then it gets shoved? Well, last week, a group of people in our church, God bless them, they came, and this is the group, they came and spread the chips on our prayer walk. And now, if you want, you can start at the edge of the new building, and you can walk on this chip path, and it takes you in a loop all the way to the back of our property and back to the front. It's gorgeous, it's peaceful, I'll bet your soul would be blessed if you hiked out there and whispered a prayer to God. So thank you to everyone who worked so hard to make that happen. I'm very appreciative. Oh Lord, in the nature of life, we must walk through difficult times. They're unavoidable. But we don't have to walk through these difficult times alone, because you said you were a good shepherd. And even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we do not have to fear evil, because you are with us. I pray you would teach us that great idea this morning. And I ask it in Christ's name, amen. This is the 200th anniversary of one of the great discoveries in human history. In September of 1822, Champollion deciphered hieroglyphics. The ability to read hieroglyphics had been lost for about 1,500 years. And when Napoleon took his army into Egypt, they found a black stone, and it had three types of writing on it. And one of them was hieroglyphics, and one of them was Greek. And the British stole the stone from the French, but they had already made etchings of it. And Champollion worked on it for 2 years, and he deciphered hieroglyphics. Just deciphering hieroglyphics created a whole new intellectual discipline called Egyptology. And people have been reading hieroglyphics ever since. When Champollion knew he had figured it out, he said, "I've got it," and passed out on the floor. It's really interesting that there are, I think, 14 lines of script. But in those 14 lines of script, our understanding of world history changed. It reminds me that It doesn't take an encyclopedia to change things drastically. A few powerful lines can do the very same thing. And in the 23rd Psalm, David wrote a few powerful lines that have literally influenced people for 3,000 years. For 3,000 years, people have been reading the 6 verses of the 23rd Psalm, and their lives have been changed. In my own life, I have memories of times where all I knew to do was pray through the 23rd Psalm. I just sat there and said, Lord, you are my shepherd. You promised that in times like this, you would not abandon me and leave me in need. You promised to get me to the green pastures and the still waters. I believe the 23rd Psalm is a wonderful gift, and it is a prayer guide, if we will let it be. Last week we looked at verses 1-3. This week we're looking at verses 4-5. So David wrote, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I did some research this week on what was David thinking about when he came up with the term, the valley of the shadow of death. What image was in his mind when he wrote that great phrase, the valley of the shadow of death? And the best explanation I found was, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 23, Saul is hunting David. Saul is angry. He feels threatened. He takes his army out and he's hunting David. And David and his men are in a place in the south of Israel that's very rocky and mountainous. And in this psalm, it says that Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men snuck by on the other side of the mountain. And evidently, the people who think they know where this is say the side that Saul went on was wide open, and the side that David and his men snuck through was a narrow cavern. And it felt like the valley of the shadow of death, because if Saul knew where they were, Saul and his army could have killed them all. So in this explanation, David and his men are trying to escape Saul's wrath, and they have to go through a narrow, craggy valley. And David remembered that all these years later, and he coined the phrase, Valley of the Shadow of Death. It is a poetic image. It's a poetic snapshot of sorrow, pain, and worrying about death. If you look carefully at your life, you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death on multiple occasions. You've walked through the valley of the shadow of death with other people, friends and family. You've shared the sorrow. Your heart has broken with them in their sorrows. I've probably done 4 to 500 funerals in the 40 years I've pastored this church. I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I have prayed with beautiful people that I loved dearly as they were walking through the valley for the very last time. Church, it is not true that if you love God, life is painless. That is a vicious lie. In fact, if you really love God and you really love people, you might have more pain in your life. But I want to say this. I would rather love and walk through the valley than not love and avoid the valley. Church, if you genuinely love, you're going to walk through the valley with people you genuinely love. I pray that as a church, I pray that as life groups, we would be willing to open our hearts and souls to one another. And when our friends and family and loved ones walk through these hard times in life, when disease and accidents and unpredictable events happen, I pray to God that we will be the kind of church that soft-heartedly walks through the valley with each other. Church, can we do that? Do we have it in us to do that? Life groups, are you willing to do that? Sometimes we walk through the valley, but it's an internal valley. Sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's an internal struggle. We have internal sorrows. We have internal brokenness. We have internal loneliness, and we walk through the valley. People on the outside may not see it, but you know you've walked through the valley. You've walked through the valley when your heart has been crushed and broken. You've walked through the valley when you've been disappointed. You've walked through the valley when things didn't turn out the way you hoped, and it left you confused. There are times that in our inner self, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death when we ourselves have disease, accidents, and problems. Shay and I have walked through the valley several times. In the mid-80s, Sharon was hit by a drunk driver. They were stopped at a stoplight, and he hit her going 80 miles an hour. And the car flipped over, and it was just terrible. We walked through the valley. We walked through the valley. Sometimes we crawled through the valley. It didn't mean God didn't love us. It didn't mean that he wasn't on our side. It didn't mean that we were wicked and God was punishing us. It meant that life has the valley of the shadow of death. It's just part of life. And some of you have walked through this valley. A disease has caught up with you, or you've had your own accidents, or there have been stresses, and you just had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to remind you that we all complete life in the valley of the shadow of death. You see, for all of us, we come to a time when the Holy Spirit says, walk with me through the valley. And as he guides us through that valley, we lay down a worn out body. We lay down a sin bruised soul. And we transcend the valley, and our souls ascend from the valley to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Every one of us will lay down a broken life in the valley, and by the grace of God and by the salvation of Jesus Christ, we will ascend into Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So even though the valley is a place of sorrow, the valley is a place of pain, the Good Shepherd says to us, don't be afraid to walk through the valley. Do not fear to walk through the valley. The shepherd who walks with you through the valley is greater than any of the troubles and the traumas you'll meet in the valley. Church, if you're in the valley today, if Saul is chasing you on the other side of the mountain, I want to say you're not in the valley alone. The Good Shepherd is walking with you. And God is greater than any evil you have to face. David said, the way we overcome the fear of the valley is we remember that the Good Shepherd is with us. He has a rod and he has a staff. Evidently, the rod is what shepherds used to drive off threats to the sheep. If a coyote attacked, the shepherd would jump out there with his hardened wood rod and beat the thing. The staff is the shepherd's crook. And evidently, I mean, I'm just going by what I've read in books. Evidently, the crook was used to redirect and assist sheep. You don't beat sheep. They're not made to beat. But the crook, evidently, the staff and the hook on it, if a sheep was going the wrong way, the shepherd could hook it and pull it back into the way. Or if a sheep got down in a ditch, the shepherd could hook it and pull it out. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Whatever evil I'm facing, the evil has to get past the rod of my Good Shepherd before it can hurt me. Do you hear it? You're not in it alone. You're not facing it alone. There is a Good Shepherd. He has a rod, and he means business. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. I don't care what you hear on cable news. Do not be afraid. We have a Good Shepherd, and he is dangerous for good, and his rod is our protection, even when we walk through the valley. For you who feel like you've gone astray, can I tell you, there is a Good Shepherd, and he has a staff. And he's looking for your soul. And wherever you may have fallen, into whatever ditch you find yourself, his staff is able to pull you out. And he has a shepherd's heart. Would you let the shepherd staff you today? Would you let him hook your soul and pull you out of whatever dark place you are, because he is a good shepherd, and it is his heart's desire to do it. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'd have nothing to fear. There is a good shepherd. His rod will defend you, and his staff will direct you. And more than that, he'll comfort you. It's more than just a job. Our good shepherd, according to John's gospel, is not a hired hand. In John's gospel, there is a comparison between a shepherd who is just a hired hand. All they're doing is working just to get their paycheck. Jesus said, I'm not that kind of shepherd. I'm not a hireling. I care for the sheep. It's more than just earning my pay. I care for the flock. You have a good shepherd that cares for you so much that when you walk through the valley, his heart is soft for you. There used to be a song I would hear, and it said, tears are a language that understands. God weeps along with man. He takes him by the hand. Tears are a language that God understands. When you weep through the valley of the shadow of death, your shepherd weeps with you. When you mourn through the valley, your shepherd mourns with you. It is his soul's desire to be with you and comfort you. In this word, in the Septuagint, the word is right on the staff. They comfort me. The word comfort is the word in the New Testament that is a parakaleo, to call beside, to help, to encourage. And it's directly associated with the work of the Holy Spirit. So it turns out I don't just have the good shepherd seeing me through the valley, I have the ministry of the Holy Spirit seeing me through the valley. You never walk through the valley alone, church. And then David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This this originally felt like a drastic shift. What's going on from a shepherd leading a flock through the valley to a banquet and a banquet table? It seemed the poetic images seemed incongruous. But it turns out that shepherds would from time to time bring their flocks together, and they would lay out a large piece of leather on the ground. And then they would have a big banquet on that large piece of leather. And the shepherds would all bring their stuff in, and if some had grapes and some had figs and some had this and some had that, and they would bring that all together, and they would lay the leather piece out on the ground, and they would have a wilderness picnic banquet. So now I see this image very, very differently. Can you see this now? Yes, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, your shepherd walks you through there. Yes, the only comfort you can find is the Holy Spirit somehow or another healing your wounded heart. But when you get out of the valley, The good shepherd has something beautiful. He's going to roll out the leather. He's going to break out the best stuff. And there's going to be a wilderness picnic in which your soul is refreshed and renewed. Do you see how those two images go together? David was a genius. The man was a genius. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is a poetic image of joy and celebration, even in a broken world. Yes, the Lord protects us in the valley, but he also blesses us and initiates life banquets. I want to encourage you to enjoy the goodness of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Church, the Christian life is not a miserable struggle. The Christian life is the joy of the Lord is my strength. God is most honored when his children are most joyful. Do you hear this? I don't believe Christianity is a burden. I don't believe it is a bore. I believe when I live the Christian life the way I should, there is joy, there is banqueting, there is beautiful things, and there is life. If you're miserable, it isn't Christianity's fault. There is a good shepherd who wants to lead you to the banquet. Would you please open your eyes and follow him into the joy? The problems and afflictions of life don't stop, but the Lord still invites us into times of feasting and celebrating. So if the scholars are right, and David went on, Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David went through the narrow crag, Saul was still out there. Saul was still chasing him, but David had this sense of peace and joy in the Lord when they got through the valley and they sat down and had a banquet together. Church, do you believe that you can have joy in a broken world? Do you believe that you can have peace through deep sorrow? Do you believe in a God who finds delight in feasting with his people? Church, if you read the Bible, feasting is a theme. If you read the Law of Moses, there were three big feasts every year, and they were a week-long feast. I'd like to have, in the American holiday system, 3 weeks a year where I don't have to work, and we just eat big dinners every day. Huh? That was the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, everybody got, they were spread out through the year. Everybody got 3 weeks off. Nobody worked, and everybody ate big dinners every day. Hey, I'll work it off later. Do you see? The Lord sets my agenda, not my enemies. Some of you have permitted your enemies to set your agenda. You feel Saul chasing you. You feel the threats of life. You feel the tensions. And you've allowed that to set your agenda. But I'm telling you, there is a good shepherd. He has a banquet for you. Even if your problems don't go away, he has grace and beauty and joy and strength for you. I'm asking you to let the good shepherd set your agenda instead of your afflictions. And then David said, he anoints my head with oil. Anointing with oil is, first of all, a symbol of empowerment. David himself, when he was a boy, Samuel came to his house and anointed him with oil to be the next king of Israel. It's a symbol of empowering. Your good shepherd wants to empower you. This is about more than just dragging yourself through another day. This is about more than just surviving the present struggles. Your good shepherd wants to empower you so that in all things you're more than a conqueror. Anointing with oil is a symbol of healing. Do you remember the good Samaritan? The man got beat up and mugged, and he was laying half dead. And the good Samaritan got off his donkey. He got out wine and poured the wine on it, and then he put oil on the man's wounds and bound them up. Anointing with oil is a symbol of healing. Whatever damage the valley of the shadow does to your soul, you have a good shepherd who will anoint you and heal you. Church, some of you have been broken in the valley. You've been wounded and bruised. I want you to know you have a good shepherd, and he's able to heal whatever life has broken in you. Finally, anointing with oil is a symbol of celebration. If you went to a banquet and your friend really liked you, they would pour a little oil on your head, okay? Odd, but that's the world. If I come over, you don't have to pour anything on my head. Except something that makes hair grow. You can pour that on there. It was a symbol of happiness and joy and celebration. Doesn't it fit the banquet at the end of the valley? We sat down. There is a feast. It has beautiful things. We enjoy the company. And the one who is giving the banquet, he breaks out a horn of oil. He pours a little on our head and says, I'm empowering you to live well. He pours a little on our head and he says, I'm healing what is broken in you. He pours a little on our head and he says, I love you. And this is a sign of my joy that we're here together today. My cup overflows. My cup is a symbol of my inner life. The Lord enriches my psyche. I believe this with all my heart. I am a better man because the Lord is my shepherd. I have a better inner life because the Lord is my shepherd. I think better thoughts because the Lord is my shepherd. I have more healthy emotions because the Lord is my shepherd. My soul is the cup, and the grace and the beauty of God fills up my cup. The Apostle Paul said, we are clay jars, and God is the treasure in our clay jar. Do you get this? My clay jar overflows with the goodness, the beauty, and the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. The cup is a symbol of my spiritual life. Paul tells us that we are in eternity to come, we are going to be witnesses to the riches of his grace. 1,000,000 years from now, people will look at your life and all the grace that God gave you and say, isn't God rich in grace? Church. My cup is a symbol of celebration. Do you remember the wedding feast at Cana? They ran out of wine. Their cups were all empty. Some of you will be offended to know that Jesus made 150 gallons of wine. Sounds like a good day at the winery to me. Huh? Good day at the winery. Have a glass of wine and a cookie, huh? Uh, He makes more than enough. I want you to hear this. The goodness of God, the goodness of your good shepherd, is more than enough. It's more than enough for you. It's more than enough for your family. It's more than enough for your friends. It's more than enough for everyone in this church. It's more than enough for everyone in this state. It's more than enough for everyone in the world. The goodness of God is infinite. His goodness is capable of filling every cup that has ever been created. Church, don't ever worry that you've overdrawn your account on the goodness of God. His mercies are new every morning. Great, great is his faithfulness. Can you hear this, church? When you walk through the valley, you come out the other side. The good shepherd lays down the leather. You have a banquet, and his goodness is more than enough to fill your soul, no matter how empty it became when you went through the valley. I want to say this. I'm encouraging you to follow the good shepherd through difficult times and good times. If you are in a difficult time today, if your soul feels empty, if your life feels broken, if things don't seem to be going the way they should, remember you have a good shepherd and try to connect with him. Let him lead you through the valley. I promise you there is a banquet on the other side. If you are through the valley and life is going well and you feel blessed, I want you to remember the good shepherd just as clearly as you remembered him when you were in the valley and needed him so badly. Church, I believe every Christian ought to celebrate the goodness of God in any way they can, remembering that the good shepherd has blessed us abundantly. The Lord is my shepherd. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. And at the desert picnic, where he anoints my head with oil and fills my cup, I shall not want. You can't do better than following the good shepherd. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray for myself, and I pray for everyone who's listening today. I pray that we could see you more clearly. We could value you more dearly, and we could follow you more closely. I pray that I pray for my brothers and sisters who are in the valley today. I pray for the ones whose souls are broken. Pray for the ones who are threatened by disease and affliction. I pray for the ones who are distressed by life. Oh, how I pray that your gentle shepherding presence would come over them, would nurture them, and would lead them gently through the valley. I pray for my brothers and sisters who have a sense of joy and well-being today. The lines have fallen to them in pleasant places. They are sensing your goodness and grace in their life. Oh, how I pray that they would see behind every blessing the smiling face of the Good Shepherd. I pray for us as a church. I pray that we could be the kind of church that genuinely cares and loves one another. I pray that no one would feel abandoned in their most difficult times, because the grace of Jesus Christ would flow from us to them. I pray also that we could be a source of blessing to a lost world. And I pray that we could partner with you in finding your lost sheep and bringing them home. And I ask this all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.